you will, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Taking thoughts from a book by Jeff Kinley. Beginning at verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Oh, may it be that we don't grieve the heart of God. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But, don't you like the word but? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd have your hand upon us. And Lord, we ponder in our hearts, if we had been living at that time, what would our attitude have been towards Noah and towards you? Lord, we are so thankful for the word of God that we have in our hands. We are so thankful, Lord, that you have made us the nation that has proclaimed your truth for so many years and has sent out missionaries by the hundreds and thousands. Lord, I pray that we could once again be that nation. Give us strength, Lord, encouragement. Lord, we do even pray right now for the people of France and the problems that they've endured over the last few days. And Lord, we just ask for our missionaries that you would give them safety, not only there in France, but around the world. Protect them, Lord, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As mentioned in last week's lesson, God saw the wickedness of man. That every imagination was only evil continually. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. Have you ever been doing a project around your house? And you spent much time and even a lot of dollars. And when it was done, you said, oh. And you took it apart and you prayed your wife wouldn't know. That was a joke, folks. Or that your husband wouldn't know. Or your kids wouldn't know. And you say, well, why did I ever do this? It repented God that he had made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you glad for grace? Unmerited favor, something we do not deserve. May I say this, that Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord bothered Lucifer. You say, well, why, Pastor Paul? Why would it bother Lucifer? If we look in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we find that a prophecy is made that the heel of Christ would be bruised, but the head of the serpent, of Satan, would be bruised. And he does not look forward to that bruising of his head. And he knows that if mankind had been destroyed right then, that Jesus Christ never would have come. But he did come. Because there was a need, not only for those before the flood, but for those after the flood. We need salvation, and that salvation is only obtained through the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot work our way into heaven. As we said in Sunday school, there is only one plan. to get us into heaven, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one plan. There aren't multiple plans. You see the bumper sticker that says, coexist. We cannot coexist. There's only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Webster's dictionary defines grace as unmerited divine assistance given man for his regeneration or sanctification. Webster's dictionary. Unmerited, unearned. You cannot earn this grace. Pastor Eddie Lyons writes, from the moment Jesus began his ministry, he was on a mission. He looked at the crowds of people and noted that they were fearful, empty, hurting, hopeless, confused, and dying. Matthew 9:36, if you would, please. Keeping your place here in Genesis, Matthew 9, beginning at verse 36. And we'll read that Jesus indeed had compassion on those people. Now, none of us would want to go back to that point in time when we consider what great luxuries we have at this point in our lives. Aren't you glad that you have a car? Now, I realize that in some major cities you would not need a car, but around here you need a car or a truck or some type of vehicle. Aren't you glad that you have hot running water? I remember when we were in Honduras, and if we wanted to take a shower, there was only one shower that had warm water. The rest of the showers were cold water from a well. Not just cold water from a well, okay? You can imagine there were a lot of people who didn't take showers. And that could be a problem right there. Aren't you glad for deodorant? Aren't you glad for electricity, a refrigerator, air conditioning? Aren't you glad you live today? I'm glad I live today. I might like camping once in a while. But I like living in the pleasures that we have today. But where would we be if we walked in Jesus' day or in Noah's day? Would we be willing to follow the Lord? But it says here in Matthew 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he, Jesus, was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I have on my desk right now 7 different missionaries who are on deputation. Now you say, well, what does that mean? They are looking for support so they can go either to Laos or to Costa Rica, etc. 7 different young men and women who are wanting to go, looking for churches that will help them. When our own missionaries went out, the Fosters and the Jacksons, one to Brazil and one to Honduras, it took them but a year to raise their support. 1 year. You know how long it takes today? If they can do it in 4 years, they're happy. Can you imagine 4 years traveling around America looking for churches? Number one, to even get into, and number two, that would be willing to support them. See, we say the laborers are few. A lot of times it's because they can't get the money to go. That they want to go. This year in our mission conference, we have a young family going to Los Angeles and another one going to Boston, going to the inner city to take the gospel of Jesus Christ because America has become a mission field. Once where we sent out the missionaries, now they're coming here. Because we need to have the gospel once again reintroduced to our own people. They were fearful. They were empty. They were hurting. They were hopeless. They were confused and dying. And may I say this today, we live in an angry society. We have people that are angry at our president. We have people who are angry with the Republican candidates. We have people who are angry because they want their tuition now paid for. Well, we have people who are angry about the wages they earn. We have people who are angry because of this or that. And now add to that ISIS and what's going on there. And so we have people who are angry in our society. Oh, by the way, Paris is a gun-free zone. Just thought I'd throw that out to you. It's a gun-free zone. You say, Pastor Parr, are you in favor of guns? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. It's a matter of the heart. Cain did not have a gun when he killed his brother. Most likely, he had a big rock. So what are you saying? It's a matter of the heart, and what we need today is to get our hearts right. And may I say this, material things will not take care of our heart issues. Education in our public schools will not take care of our hearts. You cannot legislate love. Love is something that is given to us by God. For God so loved the world, He brings us love. Back in the book of Genesis again, if you would please, chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I will destroy them, but Noah, I'm not going to destroy you. Notice verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Jeff Kinley writes, what God asked this righteous man to do was crazy enough, but it was compounded by one important detail. It had never rained on earth. Genesis 2, verses 5 and 6, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So you get the idea. There were no clouds that came and brought the rain with it. We find that it was the mist, the dew. Continuing instead, Scripture says there existed a vast body of water in the sky hanging like a canopy above the earth. Let me insert here. Some believe it was an ice canopy, giving a greenhouse effect on the earth. There was much vegetation. It's why the dinosaurs could roam freely and be so huge, because there was so much vegetation they could eat continually. This canopy effectively filtered out the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays, also accounting for man's extended lifespan before the flood. Corresponding to the canopy of water, God created the mist that regularly rose from the ground, watering vegetation, plants, and crops. These two sources would later account for the great reservoir of water used in the flood. So even though it had never rained a drop on the earth, God tells Noah to build a boat, and not just any boat, a monster of a boat, which at that time would have been the largest object ever made with human hands. The length was 300 cubits, as we read here in the book of Genesis. 300 cubits, a cubit is 18 inches, 300 times 18 inches is 5,400 inches or 450 feet. Now you say, Pastor Paul, give us an idea of how long 450 feet is. So Pastor Stephen and I took out the 100-foot tape measure that we have, and it's from the roadside of the sign out front of our building. Okay, you know the sign out front? The roadside. Past the building all the way to the end of the parking lot. 450 feet. So from the back of the parking lot, all the way up through the building, out the other side, to the other side of the sign. It was 75 feet wide. That means from this wall, down the steps, across the hall, and 2 feet into room 3. 75 feet wide, 450 feet long, and he was going to build this without Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, or Ace Hardware. He had no electricity to run his power saws. He did not have a nail gun. And yet he built this ark, and it had never rained. Jeff Kinley continues, as far as we know, no one had ever conceived of such a thing as a boat. It was a foreign idea, and it would have seemed preposterous and unnecessary. Thus, considering the nature of this task, the context in which it was given, and the amount of time it would realistically take to accomplish it, Noah's acceptance of this mission proved one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. The man had faith. Unquote. He had faith. How hard is it to show our faith for a week, a month, a year, let alone the time it would take to build an ark? And may I ask you this question? Do you think his neighbors came over and said, "Hey, do you need some help? Hey, Noah, what you doing? I like building projects. What are you doing?" "I'm building a boat." "God calls it an ark." "Well, why are you building it, Noah?" "Because God's going to destroy mankind because of its sin." "Noah, who's God? Or do you really believe in that God stuff? Maybe next week I'll help you, Noah." Do you think there was some vandalism along the way? How many hammers do you think Noah had? Because I guarantee you, if he left his hammer at this end, do you think he would need it sometimes down there? How many of you forget things? "Where's my hammer?" How many of you have one of those bobs so you can find your keys? Yes. I'm sure it was a difficult thing. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Horace Jenkins writes, "Grace in both Hebrew and Greek means favor or love and implies a divine gift to man, not humanly earned. Grace is God leading us without our even knowing it. For example, we find in the book of Ruth that by chance she began to reap grain in the field of Boaz, a relative of Ruth's mother-in-law. Naomi, and as we know, Ruth and Boaz would marry and would become the great-great-grandparents of King David. God's grace brought Ruth to Bethlehem, where she would meet her future husband. God, by grace, has brought you under the sound of a gospel-preaching minister, so that we can know salvation. There's plenty of religion in our world, but how many of us are teaching and preaching that Jesus Christ is the way and the only way into heaven? Grace is the only way that we can be saved from God's wrath. You know, people don't have a problem with God and love. In fact, they'll often say, "Well, a loving God would never send a person to hell." May I quickly say this? Hell was created for whom? The devil and his angels. But because of sin, man will go to hell. So God does not send people to hell. People send people to hell because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We find that if we're going to be saved from God's wrath, we must accept by faith the grace of Jesus Christ. We find that God provided a way of salvation before the flood, the building of the ark. We find that before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent first Lot, but Lot failed his job, and then he sent angels to bring Lot and his family out, and anyone else that would have been righteous, but there were none. But he always has a way of salvation. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his family." He had faith in the Lord. Warren Wiersbe writes, "True faith involves the whole of the inner person. The mind understands God's warning, the heart fears for what is coming, and the will acts in obedience to God's word." See, there's one thing to have a head knowledge of Jesus, it's another thing to have a heart knowledge of Jesus. It's one thing to understand that there is a Christmas time and an Easter time, but it's another thing to accept the Lord and why he came to planet Earth. He didn't come so that we would celebrate his birth. He came that we would celebrate his death and his resurrection, and that we have salvation through Jesus Christ. We want to make sure, as it says in James 1:23, that we are not only hearers of his word, but we are doers of his word. Everyone who has ever been saved from sin has been saved by grace through faith. Be it the Old Testament worthies listed in Hebrews 11. Nobody has ever been saved by bringing a sacrifice, by keeping the law, or by doing good works. Salvation is a gracious gift that can be rejected or by faith received. We must be like Noah. We must find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." I like this verse that we find in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. "Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Aren't you glad our Lord has buried our sins for all eternity? We are to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People put faith in a lot of things. How many of you checked the pew before you sat down? You check it to make sure that the legs are secure. You check it to make sure nobody has put a tack in the fabric. You know, you don't do that. You sit down by faith believing that it's going to what? Hold you up. Do you realize that some people have faith in the Detroit Lions and they buy season tickets? This team that has lost more games since... Never mind, I'll just move on. And they haven't won a game in Green Bay in 24 years. Are you going to go home and watch them this afternoon? They haven't won in 24 years in Green Bay. What are the chances are that they'll win today? I heard zero. Someone said 50-50. Someone would say, it's about time. Yes. People buy stocks believing they will grow in value. People go to college believing that it will help them and prepare them to enter the job market and obtain a better paying job. People buy cans of green beans believing that there'll be green beans in them and not lima beans. We do understand that when God created lima beans, he meant them for the animals and not for us. I see hands all over the auditorium. Yes. People have faith in the teachings of humanism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Mormonism, and yes, in the teachings of the Baptist faith. But what we need to put our teachings in is right there, in the very Word of God. That's what we need to have our faith in. That's what's important. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Mankind is fearful, empty, hurting, hopeless, confused, and dying. And I added the word angry. But the Lord says, Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Shall we stand together? We'll sing the invitation song of 375, Just As I Am. Maybe this morning you would like to come and get things settled with the Lord concerning salvation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know in your family or where you work or a neighbor that needs salvation. And you would like to come and pray for that person today. Maybe you just like to come and pray, Lord, help me to be like Noah. Help me to have that type of faith that I am willing to do whatever, no matter how long it takes. You'd like to come and pray and say, Lord, give me that faith. We'll give you that opportunity in just a moment. You can kneel here at the altar, or if you cannot kneel, you can sit on the front pew. But maybe this morning you'd just like to come and pray about it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to come. And Lord, not out of emotion do we come, but Lord, out of sincerity, and out of a willingness to surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.